John Wesley, who of course is renowned for all that he did in terms of establishing the Methodist Church, though that was not his intention, he was hearing from God that he had to be out amongst the people preaching the gospel and healing the sick and doing all the things that we're called to do as apostles and disciples. He was out there amongst the people. And of course, he fell foul of the traditions of a certain church, which shall remain nameless. But it was never his intention, actually, to establish another church. But he simply wanted the church of which he was in love with, which for him was the Church of England at that point. He wanted very much for it to grow in faith and to be full of the Spirit of God and to do the works to which they had been called. And during his early years of ministry, he actually reached a point in his life when he was almost in despair because he felt he did not have the faith to continue. And he felt that when he was unwell on occasions and death stared him in the face, that he was fearful. And he found little comfort at that point in his faith in Christ. And yet he had already achieved extraordinary things during his ministry. But he had a Christian brother who was called Peter Bowler, who was of the Moravian Christian. They were known as a sect at that point, but they were actually kind of charismatic evangelical Christians, if that means anything to you. It means they were people full of the Spirit of God who wanted faith to catch on fire. So this brother, Peter Bowler, said to his brother, John Wesley, he said, "Preach faith till you have your faith. And then because you have it, you will preach it. Preach faith until you have your faith. And then you will preach it for yourself." And as time went on and he began to meet with other Christians, he began to meet with Christians who believed in the presence and the power of God. And there was an occasion with something that was called the Clapham Sect. It was a group of Christians who used to delve into the Word of God and find all the richness that the Word of God holds for individuals. And they used to pray together for hours and hours into the night. And it was on that one such occasion that he found his heart was strangely warm. I think the point of this story is that even people who have been long in the faith, actually their faith can grow cold. And we need those fathers in the faith or mothers in the faith whom we can turn to and who will encourage us and build us up so that we can then carry on in the Lord. We need people to whom we can turn to in those difficult times. We certainly need to have a memory of them. And be aware of those who have helped us in the past and who we can text or ring or meet with even today. And we need to be able to do that. I need to be able to do that. You need to be able to do that. So when things get really tough in your life and things happen, that's the nature of life itself, when things become get to that state when we are ourselves fearful of what's going to happen, we need to know to whom we can turn. First and foremost, we turn to our God, but we turn to our brothers and sisters in Christ for encouragement and help. We never go it alone. Don't do that. It's never right to try and say, "I'm going to deal with this myself." You will fail. And so we come to some examples of faith in the book of Hebrews today. And we see how it is that the writer outlines for us what faith, true faith, is all about. And I know I've met many people who have said to me, "I wish I could have your faith." I said, "Well, you can, actually. That's a good place to start. I wish I could. I wish I could." That's the only place you have to start, to have a belief in your heart, something that's going on inside of you that wants to make a connection with Almighty God, and it will happen. So Hebrews chapter 11, page 1209, if you want to follow it, is this: faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commanded for. I like the King James Version, actually. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, when you think of substance, it means all sorts of things. Things you can touch, and you can work out what things are by the feel of the substance of something. And yet faith is saying, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you can't actually touch it, but when you have it, you know it's real. And you know that God is present. And you receive faith to believe, faith to hope in the things and the promises of God which are written in this Bible. If you don't have one, do get your hands on a Bible. Because from these words flow streams of living water. And they build up within us, and they flow out, and they touch other people too. But we will find God just by reading this. We need to get our hands on a Bible and read it for ourselves. And if you need help with that, then speak to me afterward. Let's pray about it. Let's not leave this place without having the tools within our hands to appropriate all the promises that are in here for ourselves. Because God would meet with you today and tomorrow and indeed every day. I have faith to believe, friends, that many years ago now, God called me to follow him. Picked me out of a crowd, basically. And actually, where I first came to faith was when I was an apprentice and on my lathe, and during the lunch times we would meet together, and people would meet together around their lathes and read the Bible. And I was invited to join that group. I joined that group because there was just something inside here that was saying there might be something in this. And I began to learn about the things of God. And that's the time at which I probably grew most quickly, because I became very hungry spiritually to read as much as I could about this God and to experience his presence. Because faith is about understanding that God is present and that he wants to seek us out and to draw us unto him. And he wants to do that for you each and every day. I have faith to believe that God picked me out. I have faith to believe that what God wants to pick everybody out, actually. People whose minds and hearts are open and ready for that eventuality. And he just drops something in our hearts and says, this is the moment. Are you listening? I am here. So it's not just about kingdom building. That's not all that the church is about, but seeking the King. And today may be an opportunity for you to do that. Faith to believe that you are precious in his sight. We've just been singing, Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood. Any of you who have grown up without having experience, either good parents or parents have been absent, you will want to know that there's a Father in heaven who actually loves you so very much. He is the perfect Father. And he's the one to whom we can turn. And he wants to pick you out. And he wants to father you. And he wants to love you. In the tales in the book of Hebrews here, we see all these examples of faith. And in a sense, they are wonderful and daunting, because they are people who managed to carry on in life when everything seemed to be against them. And we may feel that that's not where we are at all. But there are also people like John Wesley who are great people of faith who, as I suggest, had their struggles too. We need a bit of a balance in the stories that we read. But these examples are examples of where faith has a substance, and people have hung on in there because they know that despite all that's going on, God is with them. And you can know that too today. You can know that this very moment, this very second, that God is present and seeking you out even as we sit together. He will give you faith to walk. He will give you faith to walk in this life despite all the difficulties and the tragedies and the joys and all the kinds of different things that happen to us in life. He will give you faith to walk. And as he meets with you through his Son, Jesus Christ, he will enable you to look for something which is beyond all of this. And I think it's very important that we understand that we are a people whose address actually is not here on earth, it's in heaven. That's where we're destined for. That's our future destiny in Christ. We are told that by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Abraham considered God faithful who had made the promise. And it came to pass. And from this one man, and he as good as dead, keep rubbing it in, came numerous descendants as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. And we're a part of that legacy. This is a part of what Abraham had a vision of that God gave him. We're a part of that, and the vision goes on and on and on until Christ himself returns. He was one of those people who had learnt to live by faith, to go to a far country, to leave everything he had and to go to a far country, even though he didn't know the final destination. I wonder if there are many men here, there might be women too, who when we go driving on a holiday or something, and we say, well, no, I know where to get where I'm going. Don't worry, we'll find our way. And we're afraid to ask, because it's something to do with pride. And eventually we have to ask. Or stop, pull over, look at the map. Or you could listen to Satnav, but they get it wrong too. Actually, they don't always know everything. Garmin doesn't know the way. Really doesn't always know the way. But we have a God who has set out a pathway for us. And that pathway is to be found in Jesus Christ. He leads us. He leads us in the places we need to be. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. We need to seek him out with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to follow his way, to follow in his pathway. And he will help us to walk a life of faith and to believe that there is going to be substance in it. And that substance is knowing that God is present and that he will enable us to do the things that he calls us to do. For he will equip us and strengthen us for that task. He calls us in faith to be a people of worship, which is why Sundays are not an optional extra in the Christian faith. We need to worship together because it's in community that God meets with his people. Yes, he can meet with us when we're on our own. And some people, because of their circumstances, have to meet with God in their own way. Those who are in prison because of their faith and other such reasons. But we're called to be a part of a community. And he has gifted us by grace with the gift of his church. We're called to be together. I believe by faith we're called to be witnesses to what we have known for ourselves. How else will others come to know that this God loves them so very much if we do not become the substance that enables people to see that something's going on in this person's life that I want to buy into? We are his witnesses, and he wants us to become that for ourselves. I wonder if that's a faith that you can see for yourselves. I wonder if that's a faith that you want to be a part of and aren't sure how to take that next step. Well, perhaps this is the moment for you. Or if your faith has grown cold, the opportunity to know that God will just breathe his life back into you and enable you to walk with him the walk of faith. This is the moment. This is the opportunity. It's now. And as you begin to do that, begin to recognize also who it is that God brings into your presence. People who will speak words of faith and hope into your life. We all need some of that. And also you will find in him, through Jesus Christ, that place of healing and wholeness and peace for your lives. We need that too. Why don't you please stand? And here comes a moment in our lives when God is, his eyes are casting over the world in which we live, and he sees us. He sees you. He sees you as an individual, as someone beloved in his sight. He sees you as a person who is valued by him. And he wants very much to touch us in our lives and to bring us to that place in our faith where there is some substance to it. And he wants to take us on. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and if it's a prayer that you can say amen to at the end, that would be wonderful, and the angels in heaven will be rejoicing. So let's be still, and I'm going to say this prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us so very much. We thank you that you want us to walk in your ways, and that you have a plan for our lives, and that you want us to depend upon you and not upon the ways of this world. And so, Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts to your presence now. Lord, I'm sorry if my faith has grown cold over the years. Please forgive me of that, and strengthen me and renew me today, and refresh me by your Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, Lord, if over the years I've rejected your claims upon my life. And right here and right now I come to you and give you my life afresh, or perhaps for the first time. I say sorry for the things I've done wrong in this life, and I claim your grace and forgiveness. And I ask you now to fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I may walk the life of faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.